This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Northwest Safe. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? National.
So a 20-year-old dressed in tactical gear allegedly tried to shoot up a Walmart in Springfield, Missouri. But he was stopped by a good guy with a gun. In this case, an off-duty firefighter who held this 20-year-old at gunpoint until cops arrived and arrested him. Springfield Police Lieutenant Mike Lucas told KOLR-TV that the situation could have been way worse for this dude.
He was compliant with us, but his intent was not to cause peace or comfort to anybody that was in the business here. In fact, he's lucky he's alive still, to be honest.
He's lucky he's alive still. Because it turns out, when you go into a situation with the intent to do harm, as this guy clearly did, usually you don't end up getting arrested. But now, at least we get the opportunity to find out a little bit more about what drove this guy to do what he inevitably was going to do had it not been for that good guy with a gun. Now, the suspect apparently grabbed a shopping cart. He began pushing it around, and he was recording himself on cell phone video. And all of a sudden, it was kind of seeming alarming. He had this gun around his shoulder. And so the store manager ends up pulling a fire alarm, and shoppers fled. Here's a witness talking with KYTV television.
The siren goes off, a real loud siren goes off for like a second. And then they say, suspected fire, possible fire, exit immediately. And there's an employee standing there, and I was like, looked at him like that. And he's like, I don't know. And this lady was screaming at us, like, get out now, get out, get out. Just yelling, and we're like, oh my gosh, I don't smell a fire. Not really a panic, but everybody's scared. They were just concerned and just had no idea what was going on. We had no idea what was going on at all. So there's an off-duty fireman that stopped this, and he had a weapon on him. So if it wouldn't been for that guy, who knows what could have happened today.
He was armed with a loaded gun, the bad guy with the gun. He had over 100 rounds of ammunition. And here's a witness who became scared when she saw the rifle hanging around his neck.
Was just sitting there getting ready to get out of my car when I heard off to my left someone yelling, is that a real rifle? There was just that brief moment of I saw what was around his neck and realized he could have grabbed that at any minute. And so just kudos to everybody that was around me that made me feel safe. We're being terrorized by our own citizens, and it has to stop.
So apparently this guy's originally from Portland, lives with his wife in Springfield, and we believe he studied EMS EMT at Ozarks Technical Community College. Now, here's a question I have for people, especially the folks who like to go out of their way to talk about how evil guns are and how no one should have access to guns, how we really need to worry about the everyday citizen who goes through the process of trying to own a gun. What do you think would have happened today had it not been for that good guy who had a weapon on him? What do you think would have happened if he didn't happen to be at that Walmart at the exact same moment that this went down? Now, I'm not someone who generally believes in every single instance someone who is a good guy with a gun is going to prevent a bad guy with a gun from doing evil things. I don't believe that. But I do think it can help potentially mitigate the dangers in a whole host of reasons. Number one, when you know you might end up interacting with someone with a weapon, it serves generally, I would guess, as a disincentive to go ahead and try to do something evil. But beyond that, if you've got another good guy there with a gun, I would rather be in that situation rather than be a sitting duck. What do you think would have happened if this hero wasn't there with a gun? The truth of the matter is cops cannot arrive in seconds. It takes them much longer than that to arrive at a shooting in progress. Best case scenario, the second this guy gets out of his car, someone sees him with a weapon walking into the Walmart, it's still going to take at least a few minutes for cops to arrive on the scene. A lot of damage can be done within a few minutes. A lot of lives lost can occur in just a few minutes. I, 100% of the time, if I'm in a situation, God forbid, where something like this is happening, I 100% of the time want to be there with a good guy with a gun. 100% of the time. And yet, we live now in a society in which mostly Democrats, not exclusively, are trying to make it harder for good guys to get guns. They're not making it harder for bad guys to get guns. Now, we don't know how this individual got guns, but we do know how gangbangers get guns, and they generally don't go into a store and purchase them legally. They usually buy them on the black market. They usually steal them. And yet we don't have any of those conversations whatsoever. We have a gang violence problem here in Western Washington. Do you hear any of that coming up? Do you hear people? I hear council members in Seattle not want to use the term gang member. That's what I hear. This entire situation has been so perverted by ideology. And I wonder if that's why CNN right now, almost entirely quiet on this particular story. I was on their website throughout the day just to kind of get a general sense of what they were covering. You're not going to really find this story. Or if you are, I can't see it on the front page. I haven't been able to find it all day. Fox News just covered it on TV just 3 minutes ago. I'm not seeing it on CNN. Why? Because it doesn't necessarily fit the narrative that all guns are evil, all guns are bad. Anyone who dares want to purchase a gun is doing so with nefarious intent. But you had a guy who, in this case, was a good guy with a gun who stopped potentially dozens of people being murdered. Maybe we should actually be talking a little bit more about that. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Wait, what?
So Joe Biden made a weird comment yesterday, and even in context, it doesn't quite make sense. I know that over at MSNBC, Andrea Mitchell was trying to defend it because the Trump War Room, their Twitter feed, put out a portion of the excerpt in which they just stopped the quote at a certain point, and Andrea Mitchell wants to say that it was taken out of context. It wasn't. You're going to hear this clip. And it was a speech at Iowa. You're going to hear almost in real time Joe Biden realize what he said was wrong and then quickly try to cover it up. And it was a mistake. I don't think he intended it. It was clearly a mistake, but then you hear him trying to cover it up. Listen.
What we should do is we should challenge these students. We should challenge students in these schools to have advanced placement programs in these schools. We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Uh-oh.
Wealthy kids, black kids, Asian kids. No, I really mean it, but think how we think about it.
It was clearly a mistake, okay? It was clearly a mistake. But it kind of does give Trump an opening to go after him.
It sounds like his recovery was just naming whatever race.
It was just quickly say anything other than white because I want to make sure I give myself a little bit of coverage. Now, again, MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell tried to point out, instead of highlighting how ridiculous this comment was, because, it was taken out of context, which is funny given how often the media takes Donald Trump out of context, whether it's talking about him and his very fine people remark, which was dramatically taken out of context. It doesn't make it right the way he used it even in that scenario. Probably shouldn't have said it because it opened himself up for that. But let's be clear, they took that out of context. They took out of context the idea of him wanting to go after animals in relationship not to illegal immigrants, but to ICE or to members of different organizations, different gangs. That's a completely different conversation. And now in this case, the Trump team is taking advantage of it, including, by the way, the Trump team, Donald Trump himself, saying, yeah, Joe Biden, a little cray-cray.
Look, Joe is not playing with a full deck. He made that comment. I said, whoa, I saw it because I was on something. I had a television. I saw his comment. Joe Biden is not playing with a full deck. This is not somebody you could have as your president. But if he got the nomination, I'd be thrilled.
He has stumbled a lot, Joe Biden. On the debate stage, he kind of stumbles a little bit when he's giving speech. I mean, here again is another portion of a speech.
Words that stunned the nation, and I would argue, I know, shocked the world. International leaders spoke about it. You had people like Margaret Thatcher, like the former chairman and leader of the party in Germany.
Wait, what? Who? What does he do? Did you mean Theresa May? Because Theresa May is not in Germany. That's Angela Merkel, but I'm not clear you're talking about the PM. So he makes a lot of these mistakes, and he does stumble a lot, and it is bringing up the question as to whether or not he is a little bit too old to be president. We had the same exact conversation with John McCain when the Democrats wanted to put that out there. Remember when Democrats wanted to talk about the age of presidents and whether or not that is, you know, something that we should be having a conversation with? And at the time, conservatives pushed back, saying, okay, that's not fair to have that conversation. And I actually disagreed with Republicans then. I think it's totally fair to have the conversation about the health aspect of the president. Democrats are doing this now with Donald Trump, claiming he's insane, he's mentally unstable, claiming that he's too unhealthy to be president, claiming he's got mental issues. Well, when you do that against the president, I have to assume that you're going to be at least a little bit honest and do that towards Joe Biden, who is up there in age and has been stumbling a lot. I get a mistake from time to time. And I certainly expect more mistakes happening on the campaign trail when you're traveling 24/7. We haven't really been hearing those types of stumbles from the president, though. He, say what you will about Trump, he has a remarkable amount of energy for someone his age. He's tweeting up a storm, unless... Oh, do you think maybe he's schedule tweeting? Do you think he schedules his tweets? He's actually sleeping, and then when, you know, when you get a tweet at 3:15 a.m. in the morning, he's still in bed?
It's just disingenuous. Who schedules tweets? Just ridiculous.
Did you just scheduled a tweet on the KTTH account? I literally saw you.
May have.
I literally just saw you do it.
Oh.
And you did it with audio to an. I just saw you. I just saw you.
This is taken out of context.
No, it's perfectly in context. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget, you can also go behind the scenes of the show by following me on Instagram. Fire up your Instagram app and search for the screen name Jason Rants. It's all one word. JASONRANTZ. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at the movies?
It's Friday. You know what that means. It means I get to talk movies thanks to our wonderful sponsor, Alpine Specialty Cleaning at alpineclean.com. The big movie release of the weekend is The Art of Racing in the Rain. It's a film about a dog named Enzo learning about life through his owner, an aspiring race car driver. The film is based in Seattle. And most of it is narrated through the dog, voiced by Kevin Costner.
Call it fate, call it luck. All I knew was I was meant to be his dog. Denny always said the best drivers focus only on the present, never dwelling on the past, never committing to the future. Reflection must come at a later time. Which is why drivers compulsively record their every move with their in-car cameras.
I had a turn earlier. I better run on that corner.
I learned so much from him about balance, anticipation, patience.
Car goes where your eyes go, Enz.
And I would fantasize that one day I, too, might actually race.
So the movie, based on the book, it wants to make you cry. A lot. And I don't think I've ever been in a theater with so many people openly sobbing at different parts of the movie. And it tries as a film from the opening scene to the last to set you up for an emotional journey. And no matter how much you may want to resist, this is a movie that packs an emotional wallop and it stays with you after you leave the theater. It manages to be a feel-good movie, inspiring in a lot of ways, but also emotionally devastating at the same exact time. That's not easy to do, but it's incredibly effective. Now, the least interesting part of the movie is the storyline of the main adult character, Enzo's owner, played by Milo Ventimiglia. I think he's probably a little bit too pure, and the bad guy, quote-unquote, played by the father-in-law, is probably a little bit too bad. It does play into the archetypes a little too much, but the dog's journey and the narration from the Kevin Costner voice, it really keeps the movie going and keeps the movie feeling fresh and interesting. I really, really liked The Art of Racing in the Rain, despite some of the faults, because it doesn't try to sell you on something it's not. You know exactly what this movie is, and it delivers what it's supposed to, and you know, in a lot of parts, what's going to happen at the end by the first scene. It's not about that. It's about the journey, and it's going to make you cry like a crazy person, and sometimes you just need a good cry. It's rated PG. That's right. It's out now. I highly recommend it. And you should, by the way, stick around for my in-studio interview with the author of the book that this movie is based on, local Garth Stein. He's going to stop by at 5:30, so not too long from now. We're going to talk about this film. And what's the purpose? What are you supposed to take from this movie? And I always feel like when you hear directly from the person who's responsible for the content, you really get a better sense of how the movie impacts you. And I get the sense from talking with him, like, oh, that explains why I'm feeling this way after seeing the movie. Really do recommend it. The Art of Racing in the Rain. It's out right now. What movie are you going to see? Send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. I hope you take my advice and see this movie again. 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the campaign trail?
So we're just over 2 weeks out from the deadline for who's going to qualify to debate on round number 3 of the Democrat presidential campaign candidate survivor, as we will call it. And it's not that Inslee has been voted off the island. It's that he hasn't even made it past the casting call to get onto the island. As of right now, he is yet to qualify for the next round of debates. However, we can say that Andrew Yang just qualified. So we now have 9 Democratic candidates who are going to be a part of this debate. You'll recall that after the first 2 rounds of debates where, you know, to qualify, it was pretty low, which is why they had like 10,000 people on that stage 2 nights in a row. Well, now, and to be fair, now it's not that much harder. It's just a little bit harder. You need at least 2% support in 4 of their approved polls, and you have to have 130,000 unique donors. Now, August 28th is the deadline to reach both, and as of right now, it does not seem like Inslee will get there. It's not completely unheard of. It wouldn't be unheard of for him to get there. He's so far reached 110,000 unique donors, so he's about 20,000 shy at this point. This is according to his campaign. But really, for him, what he has to worry about is hitting that 2% in the polls, because right now, he's not there. He's not there at all. He's very far from that. And as of such, of the 25 candidates that are currently running, 9 of them have gotten to that point. It's Biden, Cory Booker, Pete Buttigieg, Kamala Harris, Beto, Bernie, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, and now Andrew Yang. This is not looking good for Inslee. And I have to assume that he's about a week or 2 away from just calling it quits. It was funny because he had sent out a tweet earlier today and he was talking about the fact that climate change is in his backyard. He literally says, climate change is in my backyard. It impacts all of us in one way or another. And it's funny because it's not in his backyard. Governor Inslee has spent more than half of the last 3 months in this state. Instead, he's been focused on this campaign that's not getting any traction. No matter what he says in his tweets, he is not surging. There is no surge. He has no idea what that term means if he truly believes that he is surging. He is singularly known for one issue, climate change. Climate change is important to Democratic voters. Poll after poll after poll suggests that. And yet they're not going with the guy who's branded on that single issue. Part of the reason is because we all vote on many issues. Not a single one of us likely vote just on one issue. Maybe some of us. I vote on a number of issues. Most people vote on a number of issues. He's decided to talk about only one issue and then sprinkle in Trump is a white nationalist. He sprinkles that in from time to time. This is a failure, and he's shown no interest in changing the way he campaigns. And that, I guess, I don't understand. Why not change the way you campaign? Why not do it a little bit differently? Why not take up a second issue? He's been doing this for 3 months. He's got nothing to show for it. He's got a 0.4% approval rating. Anyone who runs nationally is going to be able to pull in 100,000 or so individual donors. You can get a dollar from 100,000 different people. Especially if you're doing the targeted ads correctly, which he's doing. But you're not getting any traction in the polls. You're not really getting that much screen time on CNN and MSNBC or Fox News. Why have they not changed anything up? It's because he's not a good campaigner and he's not an inspirational guy. He doesn't have a lot to say. Certainly not on other issues beyond climate change. Why would he think and why would his campaign staff think that this is the right move? All of a sudden, the people are going to say, you know what? This is the only issue I care about. We've been fear-mongering about climate change for decades. It's not to say that some of what is being said isn't true. It absolutely is true. I believe in climate change. I just don't believe in the ideology behind climate change that's being pushed by people like Inslee, because this is all about not saving the environment and saving us. It's about demonizing corporations that they blame for climate change. And oh, it just so happens that their solutions to climate change include completely changing our economy, completely dismantling capitalism, buying into the narrative of how greedy corporations and how evil corporations are. How weird is that? It's all a scam, the way they sell this. And it's funny because they actually have some data points on their side, and yet they're choosing not to do it. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KCTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. A prolific identity thief, Joshua Spalding, was arrested for trying to use a stolen credit card to buy guns online. That according to the Linwood police. Now, the arrest would not have been possible if not for the owner of Linwood Gun and Ammo, Tiffany Teasdale, who joins us now. Tiffany, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
So take us through exactly what happened. This is wild.
Well, it was very odd. So we had three failed online transactions from this person, and he actually noted on the transaction that his email address, his phone number, and it actually noted on there that he would be coming and picking it up. It's a gift for him, and he would have his ID on him. But the billing information had somebody else's name and somebody else's address, and they were all out of state. I actually got triggered to this because there was a customer or a person that called us that was from Alabama and said that his credit card was used, and it didn't go through, but it did trigger a fraudulent activity notification to him. So he wanted to make contact to us, and it was actually the same day of the transactions. So I looked it up online and looked on our site, and sure enough, it was somebody else using his information because he didn't have that phone number and it wasn't his email address. And the other two transactions were not his name and not his address, but the same email address and address, or same email address and phone number. So I actually reached out to our web company and notified them that it was fraudulent activity to go ahead and block that IP address. They accommodated, had no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
A couple hours later, I actually got another three transactions with other people's names and addresses. Same email address, same telephone number for the person that was trying to use the credit card fraudulently. And so I notified the credit or the web designer that that was also a fraudulent IP address. And about 4 days later, 5 days later or so, this person decided to try it again, used a Seattle address for this poor lady, and the credit card actually was authorized. She called me that afternoon and told me what was going on. I immediately notified everybody that I could, police, FBI, people that I thought might need some information on it. Come to find out, this person actually had many, many transactions
Wow.
that he had done fraudulently with other companies, not just with us and not just with firearms.
What was he trying to buy?
Agencies. He was trying to buy a handgun. So he was trying to buy a Colt 1911, and he had other transactions. He was attempting two firearms with a couple knives. So this one was one handgun, and it said on there that it had all of his information except for the billing address was the lady's address that the credit card belonged to.
So then here's a question I have. Here's where I'm a little bit confused. Had you not gotten that phone call initially from the guy who wanted to bring your attention to this kind of fraud, would this individual have been caught, or is this something that, is there like a policy on the place, whether we're talking about the background check system or what you personally have in place, would that have stopped this sale from happening?
We would have still caught it. So every transaction, I look at all the data that comes across, whether it was a failed transaction because somebody didn't type in their information correctly, or it was a pending transaction that we actually was able to get the transaction going and the money was taken out of the account. All of that, anytime it's a failed transaction, I always double check of if there's multiples, is there something that is the same or is there something different? So, like this person, his email address and phone number were the same, but the name and address were different. So to me, that kind of looked like a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, we had a person that called immediately when he had the notification from his credit card company. I hadn't even had a chance to even pull up those emails yet. But
is that common at other shops, this whole idea of double checking the billing address and name being the same as the user who's trying to purchase the weapon?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what everybody else's requirements are with their back office. It is our policy just
because the concern,
sure,
of course, the concern, of course, is had it not been to Linwood Gun and Ammo, maybe it was some other company that this could have gone through had that phone call initially didn't come in that said, whoa, my credit card was stolen and it was pinged here.
Right. It could have been. Hopefully not. Hopefully every store has a policy in place that would catch it. I just know our policy, and we always double check because that's kind of odd activity. If your address is completely different and now you have an IP address that's changed three times between transactions, it seemed a little odd. We were just glad that we were able to contact the right people and they could double check on the name and find out that person does have criminal cases against him. And he most definitely should not get the firearm. But what kind of freaked us out a little bit is he came in and started the paperwork because we had federal agents and local police saying, go ahead and have him start the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
So we did, so we could get additional information on him, his name, his, you know, social security number, driver's license number, and he fills out federal documentation. And so it can go on to federal charges. And so we had him fill out everything. And he came in, ran the background. We sent it off to the local police department, which was through Seattle. And on the 11th business day, so we satisfied the 10 business days RCW law. We called him on the 11th business day to notify him that we didn't hear back from the police department. So by law, we're allowed to deliver the firearm.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't shown up. Two business days later, Seattle Police Department sent us a proceed that he was legally allowed to take possession of the handgun. To us, we had way too many red flags. We weren't going to proceed with this transaction. We hadn't heard back from a couple of different law enforcement agencies that were actually working on his transactions with prior issues that he was doing. And so we contacted our local, and Linwood told us, yes, let's go ahead and set him up for a sting. Let's get him in custody because clearly he's not stopping. When he's been doing this before, he's been caught before. Let's get him into custody. So we called Josh and told him up that he got to proceed on his transaction from Seattle because he did. And so he came up, and Linwood was waiting here for him and took him into custody within 30 seconds. It was very fast, very quick. Nobody got hurt. It was probably the best takedown I have ever seen, even
on TV.
That's
awesome. But and by the way, we're talking with Tiffany Teasdale, the owner of Linwood Gun. I'm a little concerned that initially you were given the all clear from the SPD to go ahead and proceed. Were they not aware of some of the concerns from your perspective?
We weren't sure.
Yeah.
They actually had pending court cases against this person. And so Seattle Police Department had a case against him. There was Bellevue and Kirkland that also had cases against him. But for Seattle to give us a proceed made us a little worrisome. We did reach out to them, and they told us that they didn't have anything on their side that would tell us that we couldn't deliver them a firearm. But to us, it was still a really big red flag because it just shows that there's holes in our system that we need to get fixed. We don't need new gun laws. We just need to fix the holes. And this is a big hole. If we have pending felony cases or anything like that, maybe we should delay on giving somebody a firearm or at least notify the gun shop. But they didn't notify us at all. They actually gave us a proceed.
Yeah, that's insane to me. And I'm glad that you were so on top of things to realize what was going on. And, you know, I have no idea what this guy would have done with the gun. It could have been for completely legitimate purposes of personal protection, or it could have been for nefarious purpose. We don't know, but clearly he should not have had access to going into the store and then getting the all clear, at least from the details that you've delivered to us today. So I'll be reaching out to the SPD to try to get a better sense of this. I'm glad, Tiffany, it all worked out. And so kudos to you for the really good sleuthing on your part.
Yeah, thank you. Unfortunately, he is out on bond. He bonded out on Wednesday. So we're not sure if he's going to be up to his old ways, pending hearings, or what he's going to do. But we're just hoping that he's learning his lesson.
Yeah. Well, I certainly hope. Here's one lesson. If you're a bad guy who's trying to get a hold of a weapon, don't go to Linwood Gun because Tiffany's there and she's going to really, she's going to tell the cops about what you're doing. So, or actually, maybe we should tell all the bad guys to go through you so you can do your due diligence and make sure these people get arrested. You've been tremendous work, Tiffany. Thank you so much for being so diligent in what it is you do and being a really good member of the gun selling community.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Of course. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in live on this Friday afternoon. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the podcast of the show just in case you miss something. If maybe you heard a segment that you thought was amazing and shareable, which I feel for you because I feel like every single segment is amazing and shareable, and you're in a position to want to share it, and you're like, how do I do it? Download the podcast. Text the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-8770 or just search for The Jason Rancho wherever it is you download your podcast. Every single subscriber I get makes it a lot easier for us to succeed, to get our content out there. And earlier in the week, I said I was about 17 podcast subscribers away from hitting my goal for this month. I'm now 3 podcast subscribers away. So I just need 3 more subscriptions on our podcast, and I've hit my goal for all of August. It's only August 9th. Text the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-8770. Sarah Silverman last night on Twitter retweeted a video. And it was a video of a Florida pastor by the name of Brother Adam Fannin. And he was delivering, I don't know, do we call this a sermon? I don't necessarily think it's a sermon. He was giving some sort of speech to his followers. And she pointed out in the Twitter feed that this is the kind of thing that's going to put her life on the line, that it's going to get her killed. And it was particularly nasty.
You heard this comedian, Sarah Silverman? You guys know who I'm talking about? She brags about it. I'd do it again. Listen, she is a witch. She is a Jezebel. She is a God-hating whore of Zionism. I hope that God breaks her teeth out and she dies. She is a wicked person, and she is like the perfect representation of religious Judaism. She is Satan's scoffer, and she is there to take the world and make them laugh and then diss Jesus, to try to take away the respect from Jesus. Uh-huh. And listen, we have to be on guard. We have to be vigilant against these type of people. I pray that God would give her an untimely death, and it would be evident that it's at the hand of God. It would be obvious that God would judge her. I pray for the day.
Okay. I mean, I would prefer you pray for something a little bit more, you know, useful and not insane and not virulently anti-Semitic. So she's calling attention to this as we're having this greater conversation about the role that rhetoric plays in some of the violence that we've seen. And she's 100% right that this type of speech is absolutely disgusting. I just wish that folks who find this absolutely disgusting and call this absolutely disgusting speech out would also subscribe and not use absolutely disgusting speech to talk about their political enemies. I totally, totally, totally hear what Sarah Silverman is saying, but she also participates in some of this nastiness. When you talk about other people, the way some folks on the left talk about this president or Republicans, they're also putting their lives on the line. When you go out of your way to repeatedly call someone a Nazi, a literal Nazi, what do you think you're doing? Oh, it's okay for you to call out the other side because you truly believe it. I have every reason to believe that Adam Fannin just there believes what it is he said, even though it's insane. I think he's a believer. So if he's a believer and he's saying that, and you think that that putting your life on the line and needs to stop, then you should stop with this Nazi nonsense. Try saying that fast 3 times. Don't, because you're going to say a bad word. There are people still calling me a Nazi on Twitter. Still calling me a Nazi on Twitter. And a white nationalist. And they're saying it because their intent is twofold. They want me to stop talking, and in this case, they want me to stop calling out Antifa violence. I will not stop calling it out. It's thuggish. It's wrong. It's illegal. It's disgusting. And I'm going to continue to call it out so long as I can. And number two, they do it because they want to see me hurt. They want to see me hurt. That's the intent when you call someone a white nationalist or a Nazi or a racist. You want something bad to happen to that person. So do not tell me that you're concerned with the rhetoric if you're not going to show the concern from your rhetoric. I've got a tweet in front of me. So I used to work for the Sounders as an independent contractor. I was the voice of the pre, half, and post game show for their broadcast. I did it 3 seasons, 4 seasons maybe. And by the way, while I did it, you know what they did? They went on to win an MLS Cup championship. Just throwing that out there, as I think I contributed a lot to that, clearly. And the Sounders fans, some of the hardcore fans of the supporters group, they don't like me. They didn't like me then because I'm a conservative. They certainly don't like me now because I dare speak out against Antifa, and I guess they support Antifa. Here's a tweet from someone, and I want you to spot the lunacy in the thinking. Sounders, you need to disavow or disassociate yourselves from Jason Rance. He instigated an attack on your fans by a group that is known to be violent. I didn't. How can any of us fans feel safe when you worked with him or allow him access to the team? So, because they worked with me, they can't trust the Sounders is essentially what he's saying. And but they want to so we would have to go on in a time machine, go back four seasons, and then change things up. Is this reasonable to you? What do you think the intent is of comments like this? When I'm called a literal Nazi, what do you think is the intent? To show me the errors of my way? No, it's to hurt me. Practice what you preach. Practice what you preach. They choose not to. They choose not to, and they do so from this higher moral authority. They put themselves as an authority figure when it comes to morality. The whole way that they create a narrative around what they do with Antifa, for example, is they present a reality in which they are anti-fascist. And then when you say, whoa, I don't know if I like what Antifa does, then they come back and say, oh, so you're pro-fascism? Well, no, I'm not. Oh, but then why don't you join Antifa? Because I don't like some of what they do. Oh, you don't like them fighting against fascism and literal Nazis? They've created a reality in which they are their own heroes. Of course, it all comes down to what they actually believe is fascist. Now, the reason why I'm not a member of Antifa or a supporter of Antifa is because I know what the term fascism means, and the folks who are behind Antifa do not. They now view every single Republican as a white nationalist. They literally view every single person who does not hold their exact beliefs, they believe them to be the enemy and in favor of fascism. Why would anyone get behind a movement like that? It is part of their entitlement complex. They feel entitled to run everything. They feel entitled to be the only person who holds any power whatsoever. And if you get in your way, you are the enemy. This is driven by their arrogance. Again, because only they should be the ones to judge what is or is not right. They believe they are better than you, the Republican in Sequim, the Republican in Bellevue, the Republican in Everett, the Republican in Seattle. They believe they are better than you and you are a bad person. And that's a dangerous position to be in, especially when you're using that position to justify some of this horrific violence that we've seen. They went after Andy Ngo, an independent journalist. Now, remember, they're supposed to be fighting fascism, and yet they're going after a minority who's also gay because they don't like the fact that he films some of their violent actions on the streets in Portland. What do you think is happening here in Seattle? Antifa, every single day that we don't call them out and don't call out their rhetoric, we make it that much easier for them to continue this kind of lawlessness. They don't suffer any consequences. They don't have law being used against them. And they've got a lot of these supporters. In this case, we're talking about Sounders fans, some of them, who will do their bidding. That's dangerous. And so, yes, I joined Sarah Silverman in calling out the rhetoric that went after her. I think it's incredibly dangerous. Unlike her, I'm going to call out all the rhetoric. I find it all disgusting. I think it all should stop. And until you're willing to take that position, Sarah, maybe people aren't going to necessarily take you seriously. It's the Jason Rant Show.